Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to take this time to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll listen each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio program and MP3 files. You will also find a host of other Bible-related material, including 30-minute Bible videos on various subjects, and a host of other Bible-related study skills that can help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We have one desire, show your need for God in your life and have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died to cleanse you from your sin. Please come and visit us. We are looking at the book of Hebrews, and this morning we're looking at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. We want to begin by reading our text. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. We are looking at the rest that is mentioned here. If the rest first promised, many did not take advantage of it. Did God offer it in vain? No, that rest was the rest from the enemies from God when they would secure the promised land, and they would be able to be at rest and be in their own home. But did he offer it in vain? No. David offered a warning to those of his generation who would fall because of unbelief. They were invited to go to Canaan, remember? And they were at the borders of Canaan, and that first generation had the opportunity to go in and to enjoy that rest, but they refused. Because of unbelief. And because of unbelief, they wandered for 40 years, according to Numbers 13 and 14. And that first generation, 603,550, although numbered over 20 years old, died in the wilderness, said Joshua and Caleb. So that generation died not having received the rest that God had promised them when they came out of Israel by giving them their homeland, and then they would be at peace and rest from their enemies. David is warning the next generation to refrain from following this terrible example, that they not make that same mistake that the first generation did that cost them their lives and cost them their place in the promised land. Notice it says in verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. There is another rest. There is the eternal rest. But the eternal rest was not the promised land. If the eternal rest was the promised land, why would Joshua and God speak of another? Why would they speak of another if the eternal rest that is mentioned was the final rest? No, it was a type of rest. Verse 9 speaks of another rest. In Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28 through 30, a passage that I'm sure many of our listeners are very familiar with. It's often called the Lord's invitation. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in your heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, God promised that if we would seek him, we would find rest. We would find peace with Christ. The faith of Abraham implied the rest in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 through 17, and also in Exodus chapter 33, in verse number 1. In verse 10, who is he and his? Notice in verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work as God did from him. Who is the he and the his? Well, to answer that question, let's read Revelation chapter 14, verse number 13. Revelation 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And then we see in Luke chapter 16, in verse number 22, so after that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So again, there is a rest after they have finished their course, after they have finished their labor here on earth. If one dies faithfully in Christ, if one has been obedient by their faith and by their actions, they will be at rest awaiting the final judgment. That is a rest from their labors. That is a rest from the trial with Satan and with the everyday temptations that come upon us, and they no longer work or they toil. Why? Because their trials and tribulations and stress of this life is now over. It will not affect them anymore, and they are truly at rest. I also remind you of the prophet and the king, and the prophet under King Saul, Samuel. After he died, Saul was no longer being talked to by God, and so he went to a medium and wanted her to bring up one Samuel. And so he could ask Samuel whether he would be victorious in the battle against the Philistines. And if you remember, she didn't have the power to do it, but God allowed Samuel to be brought up to Saul. And the first thing that Samuel told Saul is, why have you disturbed me? He was at rest. Why? He had rested from his work. He had rested from his labors. That is the promise of those who are obedient and faithful to God. And that is what the Hebrew writer is making a reference to. He's making a reference in verse number 10 of those who have rested from their labors, those who have finished their course here on earth. And those are the people that are at rest awaiting the final judgment. Notice again, it says they have entered his rest as himself ceased from his work as God did from his. We have ceased from our labors here on earth. Our life here on earth is over. Our record is closed. And now we wait for the final judgment. First of all, we must be diligent in order to enter that rest. Following the poor example of God's children in the past will not allow us to do so. One must understand the power and gravity of his word. In Romans 1 verse 16, we're told that that word is the power to save. James 1 27 says the engrafted word is able to save the soul. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, in the parable of the sower, the seed is the word of God. And we must allow God to give the increase in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 through 8. And the word that God has given, the same will judge us in the last day, John 12, verse 48. And that word is able to build us up in the most holy faith, Acts 20, verse 32. And so what we see here, in verse 10, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest we fall according to the same example of disobedience. What the Hebrew writer is warning us about is that we can lose our reward. We can not only lose our reward of final rest, we can lose the reward of being at rest when this life on earth is over. When you and I die, and we will all die, according to Hebrews 9, and verse 27, but when we die, we're going to either be in torment or we're going to be at rest. And we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16 that gives us an insight into the two places of the Hadean realm. The Hadean realm is the realm of the unseen. It's the place of disembodied spirits. It's where the spirit goes awaiting the day of judgment. The body goes to the ground and returns to the dust from which it came, Genesis 3:19 and Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, but the spirit goes back to God who gave it. We go back into the hands of God in the Hadean realm. But in that Hadean realm, there is a great gulf fixed, and there are those who were not prepared, who did not make the proper preparation in their life, And instead of being at rest like Samuel was, and being at rest as those who have been faithful to God, they will be in torment, like the rich man was when he lifted up his eyes in torment. And he could see Abraham afar off, but he could not attain to him because there was a great gulf fixed. And so whether or not you're truly going to be at rest determines on what you do while you're here. Now, we need to be diligent not to follow the evil example of the Israelites. They did not go into the promised land because of unbelief. They were unwilling to listen to God and to trust God when he promised them that he would give them a homeland. And because of their unbelief and because of their unwillingness to trust God, they lost their inheritance and they died in the wilderness. Now, the tragedy is that that next generation made the same fatal mistake after they received the promised land, and God had warned them through even the words of Moses in Deuteronomy that if they became disobedient, if they forsook his covenant, if they went after other gods, if they committed spiritual adultery, God would take the land away from them and give it back to their enemies, and then he would destroy them in captivity. And they were not diligent, they were not faithful, and they did not listen, and they experienced the same consequence. They lost the land, and they lost their relationship with God through their unbelief, through their disobedience. So, ladies and gentlemen, what the Hebrew writer is trying to emphasize is that we need to be faithful. We need to have a continuing faithful relationship with God. We need to be sure that we're always striving to follow him in every way. We need to be faithful to the end. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life." This misconception that so many have in the religious world, ladies and gentlemen, is that once you're saved, you're always saved. We call this eternal security. But that is a fallacy. That is not a biblical truth. Because you can lose your salvation by being disobedient and going back to sin and being impenitent and being unwilling to turn from your sin, unwilling to repent, having no remorse for your conduct, and you will suffer great loss. Now, again, just look at the biblical record. It happened. It happened to the first generation in the wilderness. It happened to Moses and Aaron when they failed to do the things that God told them to do. They were not able to enter the promised land, but they were able to enter the eternal rest because they repented. And we know the nation of Israel and Judah both fell because of unbelief. And so what is the writer emphasizing? The writer is emphasizing in our lesson today that there remains a rest for the people of God. But that rest cannot be obtained without faithful obedience to God's law. To be a faithful servant of God, to trust him with unwavering faith, and to be committed and dedicated to his cause. How do we demonstrate that? By our obedience to his will, by our obedience to his instruction. And when we do that, we put ourselves in a position to be able to enter the eternal rest that's promised all those who love him and love his appearing. Ladies and gentlemen, being a Christian is a 24/7 job, and it does not end until we draw our last breath. But if we are faithful, we will have that eternal rest promised to the people.